Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Gibbons with you until 10 o'clock right here on this Wednesday night following the Ron Jaworski Show. Always a great listen. Well, now you have us, myself, Dylan McKinnon, until 10 o'clock tonight as we talk some birds, as we get into the Phillies, as we get into the NFL and the COVID situation. What in the world is going on? Well, that's what's going on in the world, so you have to expect that it was going to get into the NFL the way that it currently has gotten into the NFL right now. So hope everybody's having a good Wednesday. It's a nice day out there today, jumping up to 78 degrees. And then you know at some point it's probably going to drop down and have us all freezing out there. But we hope you enjoyed your day. But listen, we got to talk about the birds, right? We got to talk about the birds and what's going on with these Philadelphia Eagles as we kind of push forward, get ready for the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're coming off of a bye. So how do we look at that? And of course, we'll get into more of that as we go along in the week also. But for the most part, again, you know, it's time to move on a little bit as best as we can from the last game where they are now 1-2-1 in this division. And Tyler and I, we did this a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to Dylan about this before the show, where we were asking, I think it was after 2 weeks, and Washington, obviously, they had won. Dallas won their game because they beat the Atlanta Falcons in that weird game. And Tyler put up a poll. What is the win total that's going to have to be to win this division, right? And I think the consensus was 9 wins, I believe it was. 9 to 10 wins, possibly. But again, at that time, Dallas was 1-1. So you thought that they would be a little bit better. Their defense has proven to be terrible. They have an awful, awful defense. Their offense, they can certainly put up some points, but they're playing from behind, all of that stuff. That's their problem, not ours. We have our own issues here in Philadelphia. Washington, they stink. Dwayne Haskins is now being removed from the starting lineup for Kyle Allen, who was in Carolina with Ron Rivera. So he's going with someone he trusts right now. Alex Smith may not be ready to start a game. So that's why he's going with Kyle Allen. See if he can get a little bit of a boost. And he's doing this because he's saying, hey, right? This division, you know, it stinks. See if we can get a couple of wins and maybe we can sneak into the postseason. But Washington is there. The Giants, as we know, they're just going to be an awful football team as well. They're going to be at the top of the draft next spring when the draft hits in April. And the Philadelphia Eagles, where are they? Well, right now, they're in first place. And again, it is ridiculous that they are in first place through 4 games. We're at the quarter pole of the season right now with this football team. And while that's not going to be our main focus, we did want to ask you about the quarter pole of the season and looking at, you know, normally we do this and we say, all right, it's the quarter pole of the season. It's the halfway point of the season. What has stood out to you? How do you rate these guys? I have no idea. If we're to sit here and try to conversate about this team through the quarter pole of the season, what are you supposed to say? Except for they're lucky to be in first place. Let's hope it improves. They have the next 2 games, which are very, very difficult against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. Although I'm really starting to believe that this Pittsburgh game may not be as difficult. May not walk away with the win, but it may be a little bit closer than many think that it should be, being that the Steelers are an undefeated team right now in the AFC. But looking at that, you know, you look at it, it's the quarter pole. This team, all right, you know, it is what it is. They're 1-2-1 there in first place. But what has really started to show itself in the Cincinnati and the San Francisco game is one thing that we thought would be a dominant part of this football team, which has now shown to be the best part of the football team, like we expected early on, but it took them some time, and that is the defensive line. That defensive line has been playing really well the past 2 weeks. Yes, I know what happened against Cincinnati, giving up the 23 points, getting the, 8 sacks against the Cincinnati Bengals, 5 against the San Francisco 49ers. They are hitting the quarterback. Joe Burrow got hit a ton. The same with Nick Mullins in San Francisco. He got hit quite often as well. So they're getting there. They're hitting the quarterback. Quarterback hits are high. The sack total is now at 12 through 13 at through two games. That is very good. So they are starting to round into form. You can only hope that they continue on their path, and the back end, the middle, the linebackers and the safeties and the corners continue to pick up their play in order to help out the defense. So this was something that we spoke about a little bit during the preseason when we thought that the defensive line would be the key unit to this team to help lead to the success for this football team. And I'm looking at it. They're doing this with Derek Barnett. I'll start with him, okay? Because you guys know that I've been on him hardcore, Derek Barnett, for his lack of play that has resulted in some positive results out there on the field for him as an individual and for the team overall. He has not been good. And I kept on saying it, and I continue to say it until the last 2 weeks, where he has been getting to the quarterback at a very good rate, putting that pressure on. He looks quick again out there on the field. And that's, of course, what you want to see right now from Derek Barnett, being able to use his quickness and get to the quarterback, right? Get those hits on the quarterback. And that's exactly what he has been doing. Right now, Derek Barnett is at 2.5 sacks on the season. Brandon Graham has 3. Josh Sweat has 3. Right now, Jannard Avery has 1.5 sack, but last week he was all over the place on that edge of the wide nine for Jim Schwartz, right? So the defense is starting to pick up. Malik Jackson has played pretty well. Vinnie Curry, we know he got hurt in week one. Maybe we'll see him sooner rather than later based on how he's feeling with the hamstring. And with Fletcher Cox not being Fletcher Cox, right? Maybe arguably in the conversation for best defensive tackle in the league. Got to round back into that form there, Fletcher, and get some stuff done because you haven't been very good. And with Javon Hargrave, your free agent pickup, your big acquisition in the offseason, not playing very well as of yet, and we hope he gets there very soon. They've been playing all right, obviously, up front, certainly the last 2 weeks. They're holding up their end of the bargain. Now, can they win that way? They are in first place. They are 1-2-1. They have some tough ones coming up right here against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens back-to-back. Then they get the New York Giants, who do play hard, but they don't win games. The Dallas Cowboys, they can score points, but you can score on them. So you can pick up some wins, hopefully, in the next 4 games, as we look at the quarter point right now, 1-2-1 with this football team. And you're probably looking at, let's say they split, let's say they lose these next 2 and they're 1-4-1. And then you go and win the next 2, then you're 3-4-1 at this point in the division. Now you hope they can beat Pittsburgh or Baltimore, but likelihood, the chances are very slim, right? Okay. But looking at where they are right now, with the way the defense is starting to play, specifically the defensive line, I wanted to ask you guys as we started off on this Wednesday night, can the defensive line do enough consistently with the depth that they currently have? Graham, Sweat, Barnett, and Avery Siding, Fletcher Cox, Hassan Ridgeway, Javon Hargrave, and Malik Jackson. Can they win some games with them being the focal point, controlling that line of scrimmage, and the offense, like we talked about last night, more of a game managing situation from the offense to help out the defense and carry them to their wins? Because right now, with the secondary in shambles, Jalen Mills back at cornerback, Kayvon Wallace out there at the safety position, Roddy McLeod looked good, Darius Slay, we know he's looked really good, in the passing game. As far as the run game and all that, he, of course, you know, he doesn't want to get hit. He's a corner. He doesn't want to stick his nose in there and get dirty that way. But still, you know, I love the move in the offseason, and I still love Darius Slay being here. You know that's not his thing, though, to go up there and get dirty and tackle like you normally want your corners to do, to get in there and get a little dirt. That's Jalen Mills. That's something that he would do, stick his nose in there all day long, right? They have to pick it up. The corners have to pick it up. The safeties have to pick it up. But the defensive line is playing very, very well. They are the strongest of the team right now. And that's what we want to ask you guys right now, with them being the strongest unit so far for the Philadelphia Eagles. Is this the formula to winning this season? We talked about the offense last night with Carson Wentz being a game manager throughout the remainder of this 2020 campaign only. Is there a formula to win? Game managing on the offensive side and dominant defensive play from the defensive front, specifically on the defensive side of the football. 610-632-0975. Because based off of what we've seen these last 2 weeks, how they're now starting to pick it up. Dylan said, you said they lead the league in sacks right now through these games, where they have a total of 17 sacks overall. That this is going to be the way that you're going to have to win football games on the defensive side of the football, right? This is going to be it. So I ask you guys, is this the way for them to win these games going forward? 610-632-0975. And because it is the quarter pole of the season, there have been a lot of disappointments so far through four games. And I don't want to ask you, what player or anything like that has been most disappointing. I want to ask you, what has been the most disappointing thing so far this season through four games with the Philadelphia Eagles, even though they are in first place at 1-2-1? What has been the most disappointing thing for you as an Eagle fan, observing these games, watching them very closely, waiting for all of this to return due to COVID, and you get your football team back? You start off 17-0 against Washington. You let them score 27 unanswered, lose 27-17, show up in the stinker against the Rams, losing 37-19, the tie 23-23 against the Bengals, and then the win last week. This has been disappointing so far. It has. This has been a disappointing start to the football season. And with all of that, they are in first place in the division at 1-2-1. So when you call in to talk about the defense and how you win the games right now with your defensive front, dominating the line of scrimmage, putting so much pressure on the quarterback, not allowing the run game to really get off, although the Rams had a nice day. They shut down Joe Mixon in Cincinnati in their run game, and they did not really relinquish much at all against San Francisco on Sunday night. They have been holding up their end of the bargain these last couple of weeks. So again, I ask you, is this their formula to win? Defense being dominant, game managing on the other side. Can they do it? Can they pull it off and get themselves into the playoffs that way? Winning this division and then ultimately getting into the playoffs that way. All right? All right. 610-632-0975. And again, I want to ask you, so far, what has been the most disappointing part through four games, through the quarter point? What has been the most disappointing part of the season so far, even though they are in first place right now in the division? Because I'll say this right out of the gate. Where I am most disappointed with this football team. Right out of the gate. Carson Wentz. I actually thought he would be better. I thought he would build off of what he did last season. I thought he would be that quarterback that we saw at the end of the season through the four games that got them into the playoffs. And we have not seen that quarterback yet. The best glimpse that we saw were, again, the first two quarters before the interception, right before halftime, before the interception against Washington, he was very, very good. And then this past game, he was, how do I say it? He was all right. He wasn't bad. He wasn't good. He was all right. So with him being all right, they got it done. Okay? They got it done. But it has been a disappointment through four games. Right now, looking at Carson Wentz and his numbers, 930 passing yards, 160 attempts, 97 completions in four games, 60.6 completion percentage, averaging 260 yards per game. This is something that we talked about last night. And he has seven interceptions. He does not throw interceptions. He fumbles, but he does not throw interceptions. Okay? Through his career, he has 42. Before this season so far, right? Before this season so far, he has 42 right now. I mean, my man had 35 interceptions through his career. He has seven so far. He does not throw interceptions. He has four touchdowns. Should have way more. He has not been very good. Hopefully he builds off of this last game against San Francisco and really starts to pick things up and get back to at least being a very good quarterback, since he, I don't think we're going to get to the great elite quarterback that we thought we were going to get when this season got underway for the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. All right. 610-632-0975 at 8 o'clock. We will give you the Fanatic football pool like we do every single night here on the Fanatic. Fifth caller, we'll get that. You'll get $100 right away just for being the fifth caller from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Then we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic football pool and everything in it. If you are not familiar with it, it's a it's a football-shaped baby pool that we have stuff in there. And we have a lot of stuff in that pool, like $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. I don't know why they have $1,000 cash just laying around in the studio, because it's $1,000 cash. But, you know, it's the honor system around here. Nobody's going to touch it. But that's for you. That's for you. You be the fifth caller, get the $100, you answer the question correctly, and then you're in the drawing for all of the prizes in the pool, including the $1,000 as well in that pool. But that's at 8 o'clock. We'll get to that. We'll announce it when it's time for it. So don't worry about it. Sit tight. We'll get to that once it's time to do just that. But as far as the birds, 610-632-0975. The formula to win for this team this season is through the defense, in my opinion. Game managing on the offense, but specifically that defensive line. Do you agree? Do you disagree? 610-632-0975. And through four games, what has been most disappointing for you as a Philadelphia Eagle fan through these four games? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 here on this Wednesday night. Good to be back with you. Dylan McKinnon in for Tyler Zuli tonight. So we have Dylan hanging out with us until 10 o'clock. 610-632-0975. We'll get into the NFL right now with the COVID issues. We'll hear from James Palmer, who was on with Mike Missanelli. We'll also hear from Adam Schefter, who was on the morning show for his weekly Wednesday hit with those guys. And he also addressed the Titans and their situation with COVID hitting Tennessee and the Titans, and now games are being impacted by this. And we'll also get into the Philadelphia Phillies as well. What in the world is going on with John Middleton and this baseball team? 610-632-0975. All right, let's start off on the lines in Conshohocken with Josh kicking things off for us tonight. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Davon, how you doing, man?
Josh, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, I just wanted to shout out to you a couple years back when I think it was the year the Pope came, and we had a fantasy fest, and you hooked me up with some, I called with a joke on an off time, and you hooked me up with some tickets. So I haven't got a chance to really listen too much in between time with life. But, you know, I just hope everything's good with you and the fam. And I just want to say, I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Thank you. Family's doing well. And I'm glad we could do that for you.
Good to hear, man. Thank you. So I would agree with you as far as the defense. We got to play through the defense this year. Defensive line looks amazing. I'm really impressed with Malik Jackson, Josh Sweat, Derek Barnett coming back on, Jannard Avery. You know, we got a lot of players, 4D tackles that look like they could start in the league, and just excited moving forward. I think the thing that has disappointed me the most is four veteran leaders, you would say, on this team. I would say it started with Zach Ertz. Just kind of going outside of his character, of everything we've known about him, and kind of, you know, saying he wanted the contract. And I don't, you know, we don't know what the rumblings or the talks were between them or the side agreements they had. You know, we'll get the deal done here and there. But at the end of the day, you know, it set us up really bad before the first game with some negative energy. And we already had a lot of things working against us.
Yeah, you definitely needed him to handle that situation a little bit differently. And, of course, it's not our money, so we don't understand it. When it comes to him wanting that contract, everyone else in the tight end position, the top ones, getting their deals, and he's asking where his is. And then you have the emergence, of course, of Dallas Goedert, who we've already seen is a very good tight end in this league, arguably top 10 already as a backup. And that can put a lot of heat on him. But still, as a leader, to your point, talking about this, you expect more from Zach Ertz at that time. And right now, and I can't take anything away from this past weekend, they defended him very well, and they were not going to let him get off with no other weapons out there outside of he and Miles Sanders.
Not. So double and triple,
right?
Team.
Exactly. But through those other three games, man, as so far, you're right, he has been a bit of a disappointment.
Right, and I'll run through my other three real quick. But it's the next one is Jason Peters. Just, you know, I know JP has been the leader on this team forever, and I his football knowledge and how he helps the younger tackles and offensive linemen is probably, you know, second to none. So I don't want to say he's a huge disappointment, but to hold the team hostage after the Zach Ertz thing, it just continued to ball like a snowball effect downhill, and an issue where we haven't really had problems over the last, you know, 5-7 years, besides the whole Malcolm contract in the last year or two.
Yes.
So it was just like another snowball effect. And then my other two obviously would probably be Nate Jerry and
the linebackers in general.
The linebackers in general. But after you see Singleton come in and he makes a couple plays, you know, I just think maybe Gary's overthinking it, and he is all over the field, but he's just, you know, three steps behind. But I can't really – he's making most tackles when I see, but, I mean, you know, he's two in his head, I think, and he doesn't have a lot of backup. And then Carson, you know, that's the obvious one, man. He just doesn't seem like he's confident in a lot of people around him. And I think the reason he elevates his play is because – it takes them back to like North Dakota State. You know what I mean? We don't have the most talent when we have, like, I don't want to call them the practice squad guys, but guys that were pulling off of different teams, you know, only been here a couple weeks.
Yep.
But it kind of takes them back, and it kind of triggers something. Kind of like when Nick Foles said, you know, Frank Wright triggered something with certain plays. It seems like that triggers something in Carson. And I know moving forward, you know, we can't win a Super Bowl throwing 193 yards, you know what I'm saying?
But probably not, and that might be the way. But listen, Josh, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Be safe out there. Good to hear from you. So that's how we're starting things off tonight, 610-632-0975, just like Josh did, telling us what he's thought about winning during the season, the remainder of these games through four games. Winning, how do they do it? Do they do it with the defensive line? Like, I believe that's going to have to be done. The defensive line is going to have to be dominant. They're going to have to play off of that. And then, of course, the offense, game managing on the other side, because DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, are they going to make that much of a difference? Maybe, but not that much of a difference where they're going to start lighting up the scoreboard with points. All right, 610-632-0975. And the most disappointing thing for you so far through the quarter point of the season. 610-632-0975, Devon Givens till 10 here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
733 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. All right, how do the Eagles continue to win? Through their defense, like I believe the defensive line is starting to step up. They've had a big number in sacks, 13 over the last two, 17 overall on the season. I believe that's how they get it done. What about you guys? 610-632-0975. And what has been the most disappointing part of the Eagles season so far? What has been the most disappointing part of the Eagles season so far? 610-632-0975. We'll hear from Dylan McKinnon in a little bit, get his thoughts, and we'll get into the NFL with COVID as well, because it is just ridiculous what's going on right now. The league in jeopardy? Are they going to have to put this thing on hold? We'll find out. We will find out. All right, 610-632-0975. Don't forget, 8 o'clock, the Fanatic football pool as well. Let's go back to the phones. Let's check in with Dom here on the Fanatic. Dom, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man.
I like your point tonight. I like that topic, because I do think the defense is going to have to do it. My one concern is them linebackers, man. Them linebackers covering that tight end, because, you know, I just think that Big Ben was licking his chops right from when he looked at the film, you know, and saw the way Kittles was just shredding us last week. So, I mean,
15
that's
15 for 15.
Yeah, that's a concern for me. That's a major concern right there. And, because I won't take too long on that. Because that's the only thing that I'm really concerned about is the linebackers. I'm not concerned about the secondary.
And let's bring this point up too, Dom, as we bring up that point with the linebackers and what we've seen so far with the tight end. The Pittsburgh Steelers have two very good ones with Eric Ebron and Vance McDonald. So together, they can really cause some damage against this football team in the middle of the football field as well.
They're looking to probably run the ball and to get the ball out of Big Ben's hands as quick as possible. That's probably what they have to do. And so somewhere, is, you know, like the secondary, like during this season, the secondary is going to have to help out that pass rush.
No question.
They're going to, because it seems like coverage sacks is such an ancient word, such an ancient thing. But they're very much needed when you're going up against Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, you know, guys that are future Hall of Famers. You need to, you know, everybody has to pitch in.
And then again, we're talking about a 1-2-1 team. They are the division leader. All right, fine. We got that, right, Dom? But here's the point of what you're saying. The secondary is going to have to help out. Roddy McLeod, Darius Slay, all right, they've been good. They've been really good, specifically in Slay's case. But with Avante Maddox down, you move on from
exactly.
the other corners,
That's a good point.
Right? Jalen Mills
point.
Having to be moved from safety to the outside again. No Will Parks, who hasn't been back on the field yet because of his injury right now. Well, you know, what are you supposed to do?
Well, the thing is, what it is with Schwartz is that Schwartz wants them guys in front to put pressure up so they can basically drop back and play zone, and these guys come up and make a tackle. Well,
yeah, good point.
That's good and all, but you're really putting, to me, just my opinion, but you're really putting too much on the pass rush up front, because the guys on the back end have to be able to lock up as well. They have to be able to lock up and cover and give them guys up front a chance to get to Big Ben. Because the good thing is that Big Ben, he can't move like he used to. You know, so he is somewhat of a target back there. But there's a couple things, you know, behind the pass rush. I mean, they're gonna get tested.
Yeah, and what you want, of course, you want the coverage sacks.
Well, that's what you need. That's exactly what I know. It's something ancient, and people want to give me explanation why it still doesn't take away the fact that they're needed. You know, because there's a lot of points are being scored, not just because people are putting together offenses with playmakers, but they're scoring points because the secondary is not holding up and helping the pass rushers up front.
Yep.
Listen, I wanted to tell you before I forget, you know, what's a big disappointment to me is that I look back from 17 till now and the way that they wanted to do their starting receivers and how they wanted to go with size, like the mold was size and Alshon and speed and Torrey, you know, and then they turned around and drafted JJ, you know, and now we got Jalen Reagor. It seems like Jalen Reagor, as long as he's healthy, seems like he's going to be fine. But I just think JJ is such a big disappointment because
he doesn't have to have the
lightning speed.
No, and you use a second round pick for him to be an Alshon Jeffrey replacement, Dom. Thanks for the call, man. Great stuff. You use that pick to do that, and he has not lived up to that second round selection. He's been terrible. So much so that people have been talking about, well, should he be cut? He's wasting a roster spot right now. Should he be cut? Because when you get other guys that will come up and produce on the football field where you cannot, then you kind of understand where you want to see. I want to see Travis Fulgham. I do. I want to see Travis Fulgham. I want to see John Hightower, and I also want to see Deontay Burnett whenever they decide to bring him back up. They're going to play the up and down game with him. I want to see them at this point. I don't, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, if he's out there, I'm like, oh, for real? Because what is he out there for?
You didn't notice him not playing and him playing? You didn't notice the difference?
No, you didn't.
It's the same exact thing.
when that video appeared on the Cincinnati game, before pregame, where he was talking to Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson on the sideline, and then the next thing you know, of course, he plays, but he does nothing. It was like, oh, okay. All right. We know about the interception and against the Rams, and they tried to fit the ball into a tight spot, and why are you throwing it to him in the first place? Right? That's what it is at the end. Why are you throwing it to him? Why? You thought he was open? Oh, okay. All right. That's the reaction with him at this point. Oh, okay. For real?
Yeah, there are over 300 players in the NFL with at least one catch. He's not one of them.
Not one catch.
It was.
He's a waste.
I didn't see it updated from week four, but after week three, it was 299 players with at least one catch. And I assume it's grown. Travis Fulgham can be added there, so it's at least 300 now.
That dude is a waste.
No, zero catches.
A waste. A waste. 610-632-0975. How did this team win going forward? Because I'm thinking the defense, that's what it's going to have to be with the game managing. It's going to come together, but the strong suit of this team is going to have to be that defensive front with the way that they have been playing the past two weekends against Cincinnati. I know they gave up 23 points and tied, but you know what I'm talking about. The defense got to the quarterback for 8 sacks on Joe Burrow, and this past week, 5, and they hit those guys a bunch against the San Francisco 49ers. So what's also been the most disappointing part of the Philadelphia Eagles season through 4 games, the quarter point of the season, 610-632-0975. Back to it on the phones. We head to South Philly and Ramsey here on the Fanatic. Ramsey.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing,
man? What's going on, man?
Nothing much. It's just another day, just getting off of work. But real quick, so I have to disagree with you a bit and give my reasonings on what I feel the Eagles need to do to win this point forward. I don't think it's the defense. No, agree and disagree.
Okay.
I think it's the defense, but not for the same reasons that you believe.
All right.
Yes, they get to the quarterback the last 2 weeks. Great, fine, and dandy. But who are the quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A rookie and a backup.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, if you had said that they were getting to the quarterback against, let's say, Dak or,
yeah, but all I have to go off of are those two.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, you're right. That's the point, though.
My thing is always this, Rams. I cannot sit here and make an excuse when that's who is in front of me, because if they lost to those teams like they did that tie against Cincinnati, we destroy them. So with them getting to the quarterback against Cincinnati, taking advantage of a bad offensive line to the 8 sacks last week against a good team that we thought with the San Francisco 49ers getting there 5 times, no matter who the quarterback was, they did their job. And that's where I say that this is the strong suit of the team right now, because I haven't seen consistency from any others through the 4 games either.
No, I understand, but that's my point, though. It's like, my thing is yes, you can't, you got to give credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're giving credit on a situation that is a behoovement of you, you should take advantage of that situation. Like I said, if it was, again, Russell or Dak or Aaron Rodgers, one of the, a top tier to an elite quarterback,
mm-hmm.
that they were beating up like that, then okay, yeah, you're right. This defense is solid. They are solid, though. I'm not taking that away from them. But what I am stating is that the praise that's being heaped is only because of the fact of who they face.
And again,
as far as the
defense as a whole,
that's my only gripe.
The defense as a whole, Ramsey, is not solid. The front is what's going to have to drive them.
No, and I agree with you. And that's what, like I said, I agree.
That's why you said you agree with, yeah, right.
To a point, but here's my counterpoint to that point. I agree with you. I'm not knocking you for what you said.
No, that's fair.
Correct, but,
that's fair.
You know, but I'm just going to call it how I see it. What I feel is the biggest disappointment is the play calling.
Mm.
They're going to have to find a new play caller. Doug's going to have to give it up or something, because he's not running it right. And that's what I feel is going to lead them to a victory. My personal opinion is better play calling. You need to get back to that Philly special type of play calling. You know,
creating
on the move, that creativeness. Like how Foles couldn't do anything against the Falcons the first half of the game. Second half, he started knocking them out the park. Why? Because you adapted. That adaption that he had then is lost now, and that's what you need.
I don't disagree with that. Not one bit, Ramsey. Not one bit. By the way, this weekend, do they keep this one close? Do they win it? What do you think?
Who are you facing this weekend, Doug?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no. I think they keep it maybe close, but I don't see a dub, because even though Ben is limited in movement, it's still Ben.
Okay.
Like, Ben is a big bodied boy. Like, if you're gonna take him to the ground, I've never seen Ben just take one guy to put him to the ground. It's usually been like two or three.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. And if you're going to try to move him, you're going to have to hit him hard and hit him heavy.
Fair enough. Ramsey, always good to hear from you, man. Thanks for the call.
All right,
buddy. You got it. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 here on this Wednesday night. Ramsey with a good point. Again, this is a 1-2-1 team. So just because mine is they need to get to the quarterback and make it difficult, and obviously the defense has to be the strong suit of this team in order for them to win, with the offense playing a certain way, which would be, again, the game managing, sometimes taking those hits down the field, hopefully some creativeness. But to Ramsey's point, the coaching staff has not done that. So how can I really think that that's going to be the way that they win games? So I'm going that way. But I'm not here to tell Ramsey that he's wrong, because he might be right. He might be right. Okay? He might be right. Because what else do we have to go off of, folks? They're a 1-2-1 football team. Seriously. 610-632-0975.
For what it's worth, in terms of how the defensive line, you're saying, always going up against Nick Mullins, where you're not going up against, when you're trying to get sacked, you're not facing
the
quarterback. You're facing your offensive line. And granted, the 49ers had played... What was it?
The Giants,
Jets, and Cardinals. But in all in those games, they gave up only 7 sacks. Yeah. I think it was, maybe 6. I think it was 3 sacks against the Cardinals and 2-1 against the Giants and Jets. So, I mean, this offensive line hadn't been bad. They played bad teams. I mean, the Jets and Giants aren't good, but the Cardinals have an okay pass rush.
And I have to give credit to Derek Barnett again for going up against Trent Williams, and he was beating the brakes off of Trent Williams on Sunday.
I mean, the Bengals' offensive line is bad.
We knew that.
But
they did their job. They got to him eight times, and they hit him even more. They did their job. They just could not get the win, which was, again, just flat-out ridiculous that they ended up in a tie. But they did their part, and they got to the quarterback and made it difficult.
And getting five versus the Niners is pretty good. I mean, there's stuff you can say about this defense that isn't good, but they do have a good pass rush. I mean, when you're four games in and you lead the league in sacks, that's not just because you're playing bad teams. You're doing it over multiple weeks where, I mean, they weren't good against the Rams, but against Washington, again, they were decent. And against the Bengals and the 49ers, they were really good. So the pass rush is there. It's just the rest of the defense needs to catch up.
And they have to be consistent. And Fletcher Cox, with that pass rush, has to get back to being Fletcher Cox as well, because we haven't seen it enough from Fletcher Cox either. 610-632-0975. Scott is in Pottstown joining us next here on the Fanatic. Scotty.
What's good, Devon?
What's going on, man?
Nothing. Going to change pace on your theme here a little
bit.
Go
for it. Go for it.
I want to talk about Glenn Rivers a little bit and Jimmy Butler and what you think about the Heat. I think Glenn Rivers, for me, like my opinion, is that was the best pick that we had to go from. I wanted Kenny Atkinson, but I knew the Sixers were never going to hire a guy like him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted Dave Yeager, and with that being said, they went the opposite way, and they got the best choice that was out there in Doc Rivers. So I like what he said on Monday via his Zoom press conference, where he said some really good things about holding people accountable and things of that nature, how he wants to use Embiid and Simmons, talking about Simmons' shooting, Tobias Harris, all of that stuff. He talked some really good stuff there. And so I like the start with what he was able to give us during his press conference. So I hope he's able to live up to it. I hope they respect him as a coach, and I hope they get better under his leadership.
Yeah, a couple things. I hope, number one, I hope Tobias, I mean, he has his best season under Doc, so hopefully if that had anything to do with the landscape in Los Angeles at the time, you know, what kind of offenses they're running and whatnot, but I mean, that's a good thing for us.
He said he put him in a lot of pick and rolls. He said he likes, he wants more movement on the offensive end as well.
Yeah, and the Sixers have never been able to defend or run a pick and roll. And, like, it's kind of bread and butter basketball. I hope they really pop the hood. And to me, like, Brett Brown kind of tried to reinvent the wheel on offense. Like, he tried to develop, like, almost a new offensive scheme instead of just fixing the execution of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you watch the Spoelstra's team. Like, Goran Dragic isn't, like, the best point guard in the world, but he utilizes space. He changes speeds. They run the pick and roll great. Like, their spacing is terrific. And they do every little thing. Like, to run an offense, you got to make passes. They fight on every pass. They defend passing lanes. That's the kind of stuff that the Sixers just, they don't get in. It's like they do their whole scheme on paper and never the execution of the scheme. Does that make sense?
100%. 100%, Scott. No doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. And by the way, I don't know if you heard Alvin Gentry's name was mentioned to be one of the guys that could possibly come here. He took the associate head coaching position with the Sacramento Kings behind Luke Walton.
I did not hear that. Damn.
Yeah, that was something that came about yesterday. And remember their history with the Golden State Warriors when they were on that staff together while they were winning those titles. So we'll see where he goes, man. He has some great clout in the league. Let's see what he who he taps into to bring here to Philadelphia, man.
Yeah, you were in for Jimmy in the Heat?
Yes, I am. Yeah. It's going to be difficult now, 3-1. I thought last night was a very good chance, and they let it slip away.
I know.
It's going to be very difficult now.
So tough. They actually have no business even winning another game, but I would love to see them just knock off the Lakers.
Yes.
Real quick, I wanted to ask you one thing. And I already forget. So
that's all good.
You know what? You know, real quick, EB. I got a lot of people giving me guff about EB. Like, I got no problem with him. I think people are hung up on the Horford money, but that contract's going to be tradable, like, in 2 years. So I'm not worried about the cap or anything. But yep. I'm just curious what you thought about EB. Like, I don't really have much problem with him.
Yeah, and you know what, Scott? I'll address it on the other side. All right. So thanks much,
definitely.
Man. I'll make sure I write that down. Thanks, Scott. Be safe, man. 610-632-0975. We'll start with Alex when we get back, and of course, the Fanatic football pool right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Clock 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. And it is 8 o'clock here on 97.5.
This is The Fanatic. The Fanatic. Football pool.
And 8 o'clock, that means The Fanatic Football Pool, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Call the contest line right now, 215-263-0975. Be the fifth caller, and you will win $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Then we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic football pool and everything in it. Prizes so far include a physique, round barbecue and fire pit kit from Landis Block, talking teddy bear from the movie Ted 2, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4, a full year's supply of snacks from Hers Snack Foods, Jamie Lynch's James Thrash bobblehead doll, and $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We're adding prizes all of the time. Let me give you the latest additions to this prize pool. That would be beer for a year, courtesy of the Corona family of beers, including cases of Corona Extra, Corona Light, Corona Premier, and Corona Seltzer. 24-hour rental of a Rolls-Royce Wraith, courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals. Visit them at ImagineLifestyles.com. And the Phillies triple play, including an Aaron Nola autograph ball, baseball, Rhys Hoskins autographed jersey, and Bryce Harper autographed baseball bat. That's courtesy of our friends at T-Mobile, your ticket to the Phillies with America's largest 5G network. Don't forget about the Pool & Pro PR 121-inch snowblower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons and Peter LaViolette's autographed mini helmet. Come on, you know you want that in your house on the mantle. You know you want that. And Mike's Godfather trivia game. So those are the prizes right now in the pool. And if you're not familiar with the pool, once again, it is a football field shaped baby pool with all of that stuff in there. Cash and prizes, $1,000 cash as well. Listen four times a day, 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. Be the fifth caller and you will win $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And just to be clear, folks, at 8 p.m., okay, at 8 p.m., we have a very good winning streak going on here. A winning record, all right? A winning record. Cash money right in your pocket. So,
you get show me the money.
That's
show
right.
Show me the money. Yeah.
And there's a requirement when you win on this show. You have to give me a dollar. That's all I ask. All right? Okay. Again, 215-263-0975. If you want to be the fifth caller and get a shot at the trivia question as well. And we are about to do so. So Alex and everybody else on hold who wants to talk about the Eagles, and we're going to get into the NFL as well when we get back and I'll answer Scott's question about Elton Brand. Also, we're about to bring up on the line Evan from the Northeast. What's going on, Evan?
It's Kevin with a K.
Kevin in the Northeast. Kev, what is happening?
I don't even know how I got through. I got so lucky. Thank you.
Well, listen, man, congratulations, because you are the fifth caller and you have already won $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And don't forget the requirement is you have to give me a dollar. All right. Now, Kevin, I'm going to ask you a question. Simple football trivia question. And if you get it right, you get it correct, you will be put in the drawing to win the grand prize of the Fanatic football pool and everything in it. Kevin, I just ran off everything. So are you familiar with all the prizes in the pool?
Yes, sir. I am.
What's the favorite for you so far? What stands out?
I want to drive that Rolls Royce.
24-hour rental. So you can drive your Rolls Royce, come back to your house, sit along the fire pit after you drive it, put your feet up next to the Ted talking Ted teddy bear, and you know, in your back, and you're all good. And eat some chips. Eat whatever you want from the Herd Snack Foods collection.
And then drink them Corona.
And then drink the Corona. So that's right. No drinking and driving. Safety.
Nope.
Once you get back, that's when you can top off those Coronas. All right, man. Listen, Kev, here is your question for the evening. Here is the simple football trivia question. You ready?
Yep.
Before Jeffrey Lurie bought the Eagles in 1994, he tried to buy this team in 1993. What team, Kevin, did he try to buy?
I actually know this. It would be the New York Jets.
Oh, no! Kevin, it was the New England Patriots.
It was the Patriots.
He tried to buy his home team, right? Oh, Kev. You were in the right division, the AFC East, but the wrong squad. Oh, Kevin, sorry, man. Unfortunately, you did not win it. You are still the winner of $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Oh, Kev, I'm sorry, man, but you still are $100 richer, man. Thanks so much, man. Thanks so much for trying. Hang on, okay, because Dylan still has to get the remainder of your information so you can collect on your $100, man. Hey, Kev, thanks for participating, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
You got it, man. Kevin, he was so confident. The AFC East went with the New York Jets instead of the Patriots. Ah, that was a layup. Oh, let me take that back before Doug Peterson hears me say that. Got on Jimmy Kemsky from Philly Voice about it. I don't want to get him getting on me for saying a layup. We might have to change that term when we do the basketball season as well, when we are breaking down the game. Because, you know, but that was a layup. Oh, Kev, great stuff. So it's just that easy, folks. Again, 8 a.m., 12 p.m., 4 p.m., and 8 p.m., we close it out for the evening right here on 97.5 The Fanatic on our show. Guys, okay, that's all you have to do. So let's do it. Let's get this streak back. Let's get it going. Let's get it back on track. Let's get this streak rolling again so we can have some more money out there. All right? All right, 610-632-0975. What has been most disappointing so far about the Birds through four games? Yes, they are in first place, but by luck that they are in first place at 1-2-1. Okay, 1-2-1. So, folks, again, what has been the most disappointing thing about the Birds so far this season? Suave Capo on Twitter, Ramid says, most disappointing thing has been the play of Wentz, inaccuracies, and the vanilla offensive play calling by Doug Peterson. And that was mine, me. Carson Wentz has been the most disappointing thing so far. He had a good game, right? Decent enough on Sunday to beat San Francisco, but he has been very disappointing. We had a couple of callers drop during the break, and we just lost one just now. So some open lines if you want to check in. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Alex on the cell. What's up, Alex?
Hello?
Alex, how you doing?
Oh, it's Oz.
Oz, what's going on, Oz? My bad. I'm sorry.
Hey, oh, no, that's cool. But Devon, you got to help me out here.
Let's do it.
You got to help me, Devon, you know, because, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of all of the apologists. I'm tired of old Doug Peterson, old Howie Roseman. Carson Wentz is a problem. Mm. You know, the record is clear. Carson Wentz is a problem. There's a reason that we drafted a quarterback in the second round. Nobody wants to believe it. Everybody wants to believe, oh, what did Howie do? Oh, Howie's lost his mind. No, Howie didn't lose his mind. You know, and if you would have pulled Doug Peterson in the back room and say, hey, look, is he really good? He would let you know, but he's not going to say it publicly. If no, he had his way, he probably he would have
said
had
some
Foles
stuff
instead of Wentz.
He has said some stuff, but he hasn't gone as far as you just pointed out. You're right.
Yeah. You know, the bottom line is there's a reason that we're 1-2-1, right? It's Carson Wentz. It's not that old Doug Peterson isn't like, you know, calling the plays the way, you know, it could work for Wentz. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with Carson Wentz. Wentz he's not that good. There's a reason that we drafted a quarterback in the second round. That's a reason. You know, these guys are football guys and they know. They know. You know, and as fans, we see the eye test. We see the passes behind the receiver. We see the passes over the head. We see the passes that you have to reach for. We see this constantly. Well, I mean, there's no small thing that when Carson got hurt and Foles comes in, all of a sudden it's like, hey, what, you know, oh, well, maybe they dumbed down the offense. No, they didn't dumb down the offense. Mm-hmm. Foles knew how to run the offense. You know, even in the second year after the Super Bowl, when Wentz got hurt again and it looked as if we were going to be out of the playoffs, here comes Foles and everything now, all of a sudden, it's like receivers that look bad look good. You know, everything looks fine. We make the playoffs. It's Carson Wentz. We just have to come to appreciate that. Enough of that.
I don't think we want to appreciate it.
when I say that, I say that.
I know what you mean.
We
got
to come to grips.
We have to come to grips with that.
Exactly. You know, now I do have a quick Sixer point, and that is good riddance, Brett Brown.
Uh-oh.
Good riddance. Yeah, you know, the one thing that Brett Brown knew how to do well was lose. You know, he started that off with the tanking, and he never really got out of that thing, right? When you would see runs, you know, of teams when the Sixers would be up, you know, he's a deer in the headlights. He didn't know what to do, right? Good riddance. This is a welcome change. Brett Brown was here way too long, you know, and it's refreshing to see that now some positive things are happening in the way of coaching. You know, I look forward to seeing what our new coach is going to do here. But you also mentioned Gentry. Is he available?
No. So he was let go by the New Orleans Pelicans after the playoffs. Alex, thanks for the call, man. Good stuff. We'll catch up soon. He was let go by the New Orleans Pelicans after the Pelicans were eliminated in the bubble, did not qualify for the playoffs, even though we know the NBA put it together for them to get in because of Zion Williamson. But anyway, the reports were out there from Keith Pompey, and I believe it was Adrian Wojnarowski, that said that was a name to watch out for as a potential player to be added to Doc Rivers' staff. And he instead, and this team was brought up before, so this is not much of a surprise except for would he want to win versus just getting the money. And from the reports yesterday, he has accepted a job, Kev, with the Sacramento Kings as their associate head coach. Now, he has a relationship with Luke Walton, the head coach of the Kings. If you remember, they were together in Golden State when Steve Kerr went down with the back injury and he had all those issues. If you remember correctly, that is when they took over and Walton did a very nice job. Alvin Gentry was right there with him. So it was an easy call for him. And I believe, from what I understand, it was the money as well. I don't know the terms, but I remember when that report came out last week about possibly coming here to Philadelphia to join Doc Rivers' staff, it was that there was a chance that he can get up to $1 million as an associate head coach, be one of the highest paid associate head coaches in the league, versus coming here and getting, what, like $700,000, $800,000 doesn't seem like a lot, right? 300,000, 200,000 doesn't seem much of a difference. But there's also the possibility of if, with Vlade Divac down, who hired Luke Walton, if they get off to a bad start again, the Sacramento Kings, that the owner might decide to go elsewhere and let go of Luke Walton, and who will slide right over to be the head coach? That would be one, Alvin Gentry, because Doc Rivers isn't going anywhere anytime soon. You know what I'm saying? And so, Kev, I hope I answered your question when it comes to Alvin Gentry and the Philadelphia Eagles. I have no idea at this point now who is going to be on his staff, but I'm very, as a basketball fan, just like you are, Kev, I am very, very curious as to who it might be, as to who it might be joining Doc Rivers' staff. I'm a nerd like that, just like you are. I want to know. I want to know. Because it goes all the way back to Brett Brown, where he was starting things off here in Philadelphia with the rebuild. How many times would I yell about Michael Carter Williams not having a veteran point guard to at least talk to when he came to the bench instead of my favorite player, as you all know, Tony Roten, telling him, shoot it again. No. He needs to be telling him what he did wrong, even though he's having success. And then he got the big head and you know what happened thereafter. He's a bench player for the Orlando Magic. The same thing with Nerlens Noel, who was there to talk to him to kind of help things out, smooth things over that transition. There were some young players coming into the league, into a situation where that was going to be a losing situation, and we all saw it. And now, I want to know who is going to be on Doc Rivers' staff. I cannot wait to find out if it's going to be Sam Cassell, if it's going to be anyone else that they had, Rex, on his defensive coach on the staff, many others that he had there as well. Is it going to be someone like, Kevin Garnett, Rasheed Wallace? Could he resurface here in Philadelphia, even though he's coaching high school ball in North Carolina? You know what I mean? Could be a number of people who is well respected around the league because Doc Rivers is also respected, and he's going to reach out and try something different with his staff. So I'm very curious to see how that plays out overall, because I'm just a nerd like that, and I think it's going to help the team in general with the coaching. Coming back to the bench, hey, this is what I saw. I hope Kevin Young stays. I like Kevin Young. There's some nice guys on the bench. Emi Udoka, I think they're all left on one-year deals, so we'll see. 610-632-0975, Devon Givens with you until 10. Here, we're running until 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night. The question has been, with the Birds, the defensive line has starting to pick things up these last two games in terms of getting to the quarterback. In terms of getting to the quarterback. One tie, one win. They're picking it up. The depth is there. Everyone is starting to come back. Vinny Curry, I'm guessing he's going to be back soon as well from his hamstring injury. That's only going to make them better with their depth. They're getting there. Derek Barnett is playing well. I like it. I'm on him. I'm still going to be on him. I need more sacks. He has 2.5 right now. Keep going, Derek Barnett. Keep getting to the quarterback. And in my opinion, they are going to have to be the strength of this team in order for this football team to win games and get to the postseason, win this division. Do you guys agree with me? And if not, what has to be the key to the Eagles' success going forward after these first four games, the quarter point of the season at 1-2-1? And also, what has been the most disappointing part about the first four games with this 1-2-1 record? Mine has been Carson Wentz. We've gotten Carson Wentz. We've gotten the play calling from Doug Peterson. We've gotten Zach Ertz. We've gotten a number of things as well on social media, and we'll give out the Twitter ones as well. We'll get to Dylan McKinnon, get his thoughts also. 610-632-0975 is easy conversation tonight, so let's keep it going with Damon in Philly here on The Fanatic tonight. What's up, Dame?
Hello?
What's up, Dame? How you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
So I was thinking the biggest disappointment for the Birds this year is its overall lack of talent. The linebacker killers, you say we have good defensive line depth, that's great, but the linebacker killers, they can't stop the run, they can't defend in the pass, then the play calling is bad. it's just overall lack of talent, in my opinion.
The linebackers stink.
Yeah.
They stink. And look, your point is right. They are terrible. They've been playing poorly. It's not their fault that they're starting, right?
No.
It's the front office's fault that they're starting. It is Jim Schwartz's fault for also not paying enough attention to the linebacker position where they have better talent at that position.
Right.
There's no reason why, when we were talking during the draft, as much as we wanted speed on the offensive side of the football, and they got that. They got that in Jalen Reagor. But Patrick Queen and Kenneth Murray being in that conversation,
right,
it should have been a real conversation in that draft in the first round for this football team. The linebackers are terrible, and that is, of course, on the front office and the defensive coordinator, who seems to have a big voice within who they have at that spot.
Definitely. And everybody wants to get on Carson Wentz. He's been playing badly. But let's go back to the receivers. We have none. It's the same thing as last year. I believe they're treating Carson Wentz like they did Donovan McNabb with the talent around him. My biggest fear was once we won the Super Bowl, the front office would think they have the formula and not change.
Clearly not the case, right? Clearly not the case, man, because they have to do so much better with what they're doing. It's just awful. How they've gone about putting this team together, relying on that Super Bowl and thinking it was just going to be that easy with how they can put this team together. And they have not gotten it right since.
Right. Other than that, we don't wake up until the end of October, the beginning of November. So I expect us to fly anyway.
Okay. All right, man. Well, listen, Dane, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Linebackers stink. They're not good enough to wake up until November. Or late October, early November, they're not good enough. They have to be better from the gate. Why do we have to sit here and wait, to Damon's point? Why do we have to sit here and wait for them to be good? Why can't we be like Pittsburgh, the upcoming team, Baltimore thereafter? Why can't we be in this city talking about a 4-0 team? Why not? Why do we have to wait until they're 1-4, reel off 3, 4-4, where we're counting the games and saying, oh, if they win this one, if they win that one. No. How about we start talking about, well, if they continue to win this one, they'll be 13-3 and they'll have the top seed in the NFC and home field advantage. Why do we have to wait? Waking up until October, late October, early November. Dame, you're right, but why do we have to wait? 610-632-0975. Back to the phones when we get back. Tony and everybody else will get to you when we return. Tony, we will start with you, and we will also get into COVID NFL. What in the world is going on? Oh, the world is going on. That's what's happening. We'll talk about that when we get back right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So I just found out something about Dylan McKinnon that I did not know during the break. That 610-632-0975, while we're during the break, you know, when we're during the break and we're here late at night, and sometimes you don't want to eat late when you get home or whatever it might be, right? So I have my Smucker's Uncrustables. And if you listen to the show, people, you know, I love peanut butter and jelly. And I'm a grape jelly person. And, you know, yeah, when Mike was talking about jam and jelly last week or a week before in Tyrone, they were all talking about it. And I interjected myself into that conversation because Mike was saying, you're not an adult if you eat jelly. You need jam. But anyway, Dylan McKinnon does not like peanut butter. I didn't know that deal.
I can't. This is everything about it's just off-putting to me.
And you know B. West is a no peanut butter and chocolate combined. He doesn't like Reese's.
I've been defending B. West for a while. I was just about to bring that up. Like, B. West, when he says
you
the Reese's.
You are both wrong.
I think he's 100% right. Reese's is not a good product.
You are both out of your minds. Both of you. You are both wrong. How about that? How about that?
Well, we are in the vast minority
of being wrong.
Everyone
yes.
else seems to think Reese's is this amazing product, but I'd rather...
Because they would be right.
I'm out on chocolate and peanut butter. I'm out on peanut butter in general, but especially chocolate and peanut butter. I go with chocolate and mint. That's my combo.
So you like those...
Yorks?
Yeah, oh my
God. I love a York.
Mm-mm, I can't do that.
Or an Andes. Mm-mm. Or Andes are kind of chalky, mm-mm. but like anything with chocolate and mint,
that. No, sir. You can have all of that. I'll take the Reese's peanut butter cups and the Reese's pieces. I'll have those. Thank you very much. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Tony in Bristol checking in. What's up, Tone?
Oh, we got that Jeezy music for the intro now. Huh?
Ah, you got Jeezy music. Yeah, we got a little mixture of some things in there, man. Mixture of some things.
I knew you weren't from the main line, man.
Nah, I'm not from the main line.
Yeah, so our boy Rasul Douglas looked pretty good again last week.
How about that? Hey, you know, Jim Schwartz just never liked him. For whatever reason, never liked him, but he was here and drafted him.
He's a big boy, but his feet were bad from what I heard. Like, he really couldn't press that well despite the size.
All right,
but,
so what is Matt Rhule and company doing where it's working for him in Carolina?
I cannot tell you that I've watched a lot of Carolina Panthers.
Neither have I, but whatever it is, Tone, it's working.
But yeah, man, so I just wanted to call. Like, when you're not running into me at Parks, I coached high school ball for a little bit.
No doubt, yep.
I coach college track and field now, but just wanted to, like, hammer home, you know, sports in general, it's not that complicated. You take your best player. I think sometimes we tend to overcomplicate things, right? You take your best player, you build around that player. Mm-hmm. For the Eagles, our best player is, always has been, always will be, for the time being, Fletcher Cox, right?
He has been, yes. He has been,
so,
yes.
When I think of Cox, I
understood.
Think of a guy with a 3-4 scheme. You know, he did his Richard Seymour impression.
When Chip Kelly was here?
Yeah, he played a 5 technique, was able to 2-gap, still was disruptive. Now we're playing to get up the field 1-gap. You know, he's playing a 3 technique. That's a rare guy. That's like a J.J. Watt where you can play him inside, outside, 3-4, 4-3. He's not even like a Warren Sapp where he needs to be a 1-gap, shoot up the field player. He's a rare player. So I think we got the right idea just doubling down on the D-line. What I think...
And, of course, that's, you know, bringing in Javon Hargrave, Malik Jackson last year.
Right, right. It's just, you know, doing the obvious. But I think what Howie's, you know, overthinking it, you know, I do watch some football outside of the Carolina Panthers. The linebacking position is becoming a position that's very hard to be good at, right? Like, if you watch the Cowboys game, Jalen Smith, pretty notable player. He's just getting picked on in coverage. Deion Jones down at Atlanta, it looks like he's losing it. I loved Patrick Queen. I loved Jordan Brooks, like you said. But even those guys, Devin White, they're all having their struggles in coverage, flipping their hips.
Sure.
And I think where Howie tried to money ball that was just like, hey, I'm just going to pick these hybrid safeties because, you know, everyone around the league's having trouble with the linebacking position. Unless you're like a Keekly who's just watching 18 hours of film a day. And then on the flip side, let's say you do get a coverage linebacker who could, you know, really run with just about anyone. I think Miles Jack is number one on PFF right now.
Is he still in Jacksonville?
Remember Jacksonville, they played New England in the playoffs. And you had those Telvin Smith, Miles Jack guys, and Belichick said, all right, you're 218 pounds soaking wet. I'm going to line up with James Devlin and run it down your throat.
No doubt.
It's really, you know, I'm just finding that the linebacking position, it's like impossible to be like a stud at these days. And I think that's really what's killing us is how he knows that. And he just said, all right, I'm just going to completely neglect it, and we're just getting killed because we got a number one corner.
And that's the thing, you can't neglect it. You at least have to address it where you have one good one that's out there. It can't be Nate Gary. And yeah, if you want to go with a hybrid guy and you want to move like Deion Buchanan, what they did with Arizona a couple of years ago, where they had him up in the box more so than playing the safety position, then okay, understood. Malcolm Jenkins with what he did, right? Being here, that basically being that linebacker and what we were going to see from Will Parks if he was healthy out there as well. Tone, thanks for the call, man. Then you're absolutely right, but you can't totally ignore the position. It's not a fullback, with all due respect to fullbacks, right, where they're rarely used in today's NFL. The linebacker position is still an important part of a football team, of a defense. And when you do have a very good defensive line, and things happen where injuries, sometimes the other team has a job to do as well. So, with them having their job to do, sometimes they're going to get past your defensive line, right? They are. Who's supposed to be there to clean it up? Your linebackers. And if you cannot cover in today's NFL, where you have so many really good tight ends as well, you are going to be taken advantage of. And while it may be Gary, Edwards, anybody else you want to bring up in this linebacking group, Duke Riley, any of them, it's a problem. It is really a problem right now, and it could hurt this football team down the line. They don't have one. And even though Tony was talking about the names that are being picked on and all that, and this is, and I don't want to make this about being a name thing, but we at least want to know who the person is and what they're doing, that they're capable of doing it, that they're at least a good football player that can go out there and hold their own at that linebacker position. And right now, we are seeing none of it from the linebackers at this point. Edwards was doing stuff, but he's still young and not good enough. And then he gets hurt, and now you're just relegated to using, again, Gary, Duke Riley, and whoever else you have at that linebacker position. So, Tone, I hear you. You're right about the other players that are out there name-wise that are still being picked on, but it doesn't hurt to have a good linebacker. You can't have everything, but you can at least have one of them to go along with your very good defensive front, your stud corner, your decent safety in Roddy McLeod. You can have a linebacker. It's okay to do that. It's all right. Okay? It is all right to do that. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. The man who doesn't eat peanut butter, Dylan McKinnon, is producing tonight. So let's go back to the phones with Chris in Overbrook. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Devon, how you doing, man?
Chris, what's going on?
Long time no talk to you, brother.
Good to hear from you, man.
No doubt about it. I was just thinking, I was just watching the finals, and I'm watching the L.A. team. And I'm just thinking, man, like, they might be one of the best teams ever assembled.
The Lakers team?
Yeah, I'm talking about Rondo, LeBron James, Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis.
That's name value at this point, Chris, because the only ones that really mean anything, of course, Rondo has been playing some really good basketball since he returned from the injury, but in terms of being the best teams out there all time,
I'm telling you, man.
I disagree with that one.
Listen, they're making mincemeat out of the Heat. It's not even a competition with them.
Game two was a competition. Game three was a competition. Game four was a competition. They came on a short end last night. Miami was in that game last night. If Goran Dragic has been healthy, you can't ignore that.
If Goran Dragic was healthy,
I think this series would be a little bit different. They may not win it, but it would be much more competitive than it already has been. And it has been competitive, Chris.
A little bit, but it just feels like my thing is all the Sixers had to do was run it back with the same team, and it would have been a way better series.
Well, I wanted that. I wanted Jimmy Butler, JJ Redick, and some tweaks here and there with the team, but to keep the core group, let Tobias Harris walk, keep those two, and you go from there. And unfortunately, they did not do that.
I know, man. I was just thinking, like, damn, I'm just watching the finals. I'm like, yo, if those two teams would have met up, That would have been one of the great finals right there.
It certainly would have. It would have been fun to see how things would have played out. What you got on Carson Wentz, Chris?
Oh, yeah, with Carson Wentz. Yes. I lost kind of hope with the first, like, two games or first one or two games. Or even before the San Fran game, I was kind of thinking, like, damn, they're probably just grooming. They're probably just considering this season a wash. Maybe sit back and groom Jalen Hurts and then put him in like game nine. But ever since I saw that game in San Fran, it seems like the offensive line is coming together. And I think Carson Wentz might hit his stride in like game six. And then he's looking good right now.
Game six is against Baltimore.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So the offense, and I like who's on the, where Jason Peters was, my hire,
Jordan,
right?
Jordan Mailata.
I love the way he played last time, man. I love the way he played against San Fran, man.
Chris, he looked really good last weekend, man. Thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger, man. Good to hear from you. He looked really good last week against the San Francisco 49ers. Not great, okay? And I heard Adam Kaplan and Jeff Mosher talking about this on Inside the Birds when they were here on Monday, 6 to 8. They were talking about this, and I think Adam was saying that he spoke to someone, and they evaluated his game film against San Francisco. And he said if he was a veteran player in this league, it would have been about a 6, right, on a scale of 1 to 10. They would have rated him a 6 based on his performance. But since this guy just learned how to play football 3 years ago, has been training all that time, this was his first start in the NFL. He was every bit of an 8, 8.5 with the way that he played against the San Francisco 49ers. You have to give credit to Jordan Mailata. You know the stuff that Jason Peters has said or Mailata has said about Peters helping him out. Big time props to Jeff Stoutland for what he has been doing with him during this time to get him prepared. Brian Westbrook and Derek Gunn said this on Sunday while we were doing the pregame show. They wouldn't put him out there if they didn't think he was ready. And clearly he was ready because he looked very good. Now the test is there's film on him. You're going to get the Pittsburgh team that has a really good defense here upcoming this weekend. Baltimore, we know about them thereafter. How does he fare against these two teams? We had a caller earlier talking about the Eagles' defensive front against some bad quarterbacks. Well, now we get to see Jordan Mailata against some really good defenses. And what does he do against those defenses? Does he hold up well enough where we are then looking at a problem with the draft selection in the first round of Andre Dillard, where you now have Jordan Mailata as a 7th-round pick, and that guy could potentially be your starting left tackle going forward? How about that? Wouldn't that be something? 610-632-0975. Again, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go back to the phones. Julian in North Philly. What's up, Jules?
Yo, what's up, Devon? I hope you and Dylan are doing good.
Good, man. Thank you so much. We are. Thank you.
That's good. First, I want to talk about our draft and drafting, obviously, Jalen Hurts. So, there was a guy I wanted really bad in the second round, Willie Gay Jr., linebacker from Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. 6'1", about 240. He just had his first start for the Chiefs last week against the Patriots. And it was crazy because, you know, we got Jalen Hurts and, yeah, he does a little couple gadget plays. He's fumbled a couple times, but we could have really used anybody but a quarterback there. I know I'm stating the obvious, but our linebackers are looking terrible right now. Like, I really miss Nigel Bradham and Kamu Grugier-Hill. I wish they were back here. And I was telling my boy after we lost to the Bengals, I was like, man, I really miss Alshon Jeffery out there because it's like, you know, the Bengals don't have the best corners in the world. And if Alshon's matched up against one of them backups, you know, he can at least work to get open. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that big body and he can, what he does, what he likes to do is box the defender out and catch the ball at the high point because he has that size advantage over the defender. So, yeah, he's going to work to get it and oftentimes he's going to be successful at it because he is so big. He's a veteran player. He knows how to get it done. So I totally agree with you, and I understand where you're coming from. You just hope that right now when you're looking at these different players that they currently have on their roster, like what we saw from Travis Fulgham. Can he develop into at least one of those guys that Carson Wentz can trust? He may not give you five catches for 117 yards, but five targets, four catches, 40-something yards, 50-something yards, a score, red zone target. Then you just have to be happy with that as Carson Wentz is spreading the football around until he gets those players back, Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson, as well as Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, Fulgham and Alex Singleton, I look at them as the same way. Like, okay, you guys made a couple plays, but can you do it consistently? You know, can you guys, you know, do it against better competition? You know, show me some more, and then I'll start believing. But right now, Singleton and Fulgham, you know, they're just guys. You don't know what they're going to turn out.
No, and I don't think anyone is getting carried away. Look, I mentioned it with him with the wide receiver spot because Alshon Jeffrey is out. When we talk about Fulgham, we saw him make a play that we have not yet seen J.J. Arcega-Whiteside make. So that's a legitimate thing. And Alex Singleton, again, the playmaking from the linebacker position hasn't been there. So we see it a number of times going forward from Alex Singleton. Then maybe we'll, you know, talk a little differently, Jules, as you just pointed out, about him being more of a key component to their defense if he shows out that way, of course.
Let me ask you two phrasing questions quick. Would you bring back Nigel Bradham? And would you try out Mohamed Sanu?
Yes, Mohamed Sanu, I would try out because you need wide receiver help. Yes, I would. And no on Nigel Bradham. I think he signed with the Broncos practice squad. I think that's, you know, they had their chance. He had his chance, I'm sure, to come back, and they decided to part ways. So I would say no right now for Nigel Bradham, but I understand where you're coming from because you just simply need anything at this point at the linebacker position. And so I get it.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, Nate Gary, and I, every time I see him, if he doesn't make a play or he doesn't make a good play, I'm like, oh, there goes good old White Snake. You know, you get a nickname, people get a nickname in this town, and then, you know, they turn out to be nothing. You get a nickname, and then, you know, you don't get a nickname unless you're somebody like Allen Iverson, B-Dog.
You have to earn it.
You know, got to earn your nickname. You can't give yourself a nickname.
Nah, I don't think he gave that nickname. Thanks for the call, Jules. I don't think he gave that nickname. I think it was given to him out of more of a joke, if anything.
I think it was from his college.
Okay.
Well, that's what I heard.
Well, he was White Snake there. He was very good, I'm sure, in college. He was a safety, wasn't he?
I remember him being drafted as a safety.
And then they, you know, converted him to a linebacker because, as we talked about a little bit ago, that's what they want to do. They want to have that hybrid. That hybrid type of defender, and that's what they looked at him as, someone that they can transition from that position, still have that speed, but, I mean, still have that, you know, that build a little bit with his body, but quick enough to be a linebacker and hold up where he's not getting eaten up as a linebacker up front there in the middle. So, no, White Snake, you know, no.
I'm fine with the concept
of... I can't even say anything funny to make a joke about that.
I'm fine with the concept of the hybrid linebacker where, okay, we're taking safety so they can be better in coverage. But these guys aren't even good in coverage.
No, he's
We've
not.
We've seen Nate Gary not getting beat physically by linebackers, getting outrun by linebackers. Linebackers are running... tight ends are running past him and they're beating him deep. It's like, okay, it's one thing if a tight end's going to be more physical than you and beat you with his body and get open, but they're outrunning him. That's kind of an issue. He should be able to at least keep up on his feet with tight ends, if not be able to compete with them physically.
And let's be clear here. It may not be all his fault every time.
Schwartz did say
right.
There are certain things that look like it's his fault that aren't, but
however, he seems to be around quite a bit. He seems to be around there quite a bit.
It's not a good thing if you're seeing the back of someone's jersey as much as we see Gary's name a lot, and that's not a good thing. It's not all on him. The other linebackers aren't good either, but he's definitely one of the issues.
Yeah, my man, he seems to be in the wrong place at the wrong time every time. Every time. 610-632-0975. All right, we're going into the 9 o'clock hour. Still have to answer Scott's question on Elton Brand. We will do that. And we will get into the Phillies and also COVID NFL. It is taking over Tennessee. What in the world is going on? Their game has already been postponed from last weekend. There was talk. Is it supposed to be postponed this weekend as well? They have Buffalo this weekend. So that is something that we have to pay attention to. So we have a lot to talk about with that, with COVID NFL right now, because that is a mess. So we have some audio from Adam Schefter on the morning show and James Palmer of NFL Network with Mike Missanelli. Some really good audio from those two gentlemen. So we'll play that on the other side to allow you to hear exactly what is being said about the NFL. Something very interesting James Palmer said that I think we're going to have to really pay attention to if this continues to get worse and worse and worse. So if this situation worsens, then I think, this is something that we need to pay attention to when it comes to James Palmer and what he said. 610-632-0975, 9 o'clock hour upcoming on the other side right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
9 o'clock, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. Got Brian in Plymouth meeting on hold. It's his birthday in a month. And I'm sure he wants to start his pre-birthday tonight and like right now. So we're going to get to him in a second. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the COVID NFL as we discuss the latest with the NFL and the Tennessee Titans and what's going on with the league. And Adam Schefter talked about it on the morning show, James Palmer on the Mike Missanelli show. So now that we're here at 9 o'clock, we'll get into all of that. And we have to get into John Middleton and their foolishness that's been going on with the Phillies as well. We'll give you some of the audio from his press conference the other day, because we really didn't have an opportunity. That was over the weekend, and we did not have an opportunity on Monday because we had an abbreviated show, 2 hours. And that was all Eagles in a win. Doc Rivers' press conference as well. We had to talk about that. Last night we wanted to get into it, but the Carson Wentz conversation took over. So tonight we're going to make sure we squeeze it in as well. Programming note, I will be back tomorrow, 7 o'clock, following Cuz's Corner right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And before we get to Brian, also want to let you know about our Crash Bandicoot giveaway. Go to the contest page at 97.5thefanatic.com to get registered for a chance to win a digital copy of Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time on PS4. Everyone's favorite marsupial is back. Crash forward into a time-shattered adventure complete with massive worlds, new powers, and more insanity. On Crash Bandicoot 4, it's about time, now on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. All right, let's go to Brian so he can start off his pre-birthday celebration tonight. What's up, B?
Hey, Devon.
I know that's what you're about to do, so yeah, I want to make sure I get you.
Well, I mean, I think I'm going to record it. I'm going to listen to the rest of your show and maybe play a game of 2K baseball, and then I'll go back and watch it later.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
You said something about Peterson, which I thought was kind of interesting, where you said, I don't see him as a good game manager, like a guy who thinks on his feet. And, like, to his credit, like the Super Bowl year, he was consistently aggressive. He was aggressive all the time. Yes. And so that benefited him instead of, looking at situations individually and trying to fly by the seat of his pants, which maybe some guys can get away with. Maybe it's just actually luck that ends up looking like skill. But the play that everybody was killing him for when he punted on fourth down in the tie game, I mean, that was an example of a situation where he clearly wasn't thinking the situation through.
Right. I agree.
You know, and on the other end of the spectrum, it cracked me up. Remember a couple years ago when Belichick gave the other team the ball to start overtime, and everybody was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The first Eagles game I remember watching was, I'm pretty sure, 1985. Eagles are in the Meadowlands, and it was super windy. The Eagles had no hope of scoring, and Parcells, with Belichick as his defensive coordinator, did the exact same thing. Kick the ball to the Eagles. Eagles go three and out. They get the ball in like Eagles 40 and score.
Mm-hmm.
Those are examples of like of a good coach reading the situation and doing something that's not, you know, by the book or by the odds. And
by that chart, just do it by football feel.
Yeah. And to go back to Peterson, that's funny. You know, I even though I consider myself pretty knowledgeable about sports, I know I would be a lousy owner because I would have fired Peterson the third game of the Super Bowl season against the Giants. Because if you remember that game, Eli was in full duck and cover mode. Like the Giants could not move the ball at all. And we had like a 10-point lead, and Doug, going back to what I said earlier, consistently aggressive, he went for it, like basically at midfield, didn't get it, and basically gave that team new life. That jump-started the whole comeback there. And Jake Elliott, a rookie who we picked up off the waiver wire because the other guy was injured, saved our season.
After being threatened by Jason Peters for missing those field goals. So he had no choice but to make that one.
Yeah, but, you know, so, I mean, Doug, I think, it's kind of like Doc Rivers last night. He checks enough boxes. I mean, obviously, he won a Super Bowl for us. But I think he's got, like, the Andy Reid thing where he's kind of keeps a steady ship. Players, coach, guys, like, playing for him. But he definitely needs an offensive coordinator. And I don't really think that he gets, like, an A-plus game management.
Right.
Right. Anyway.
No, I hear you, man. Listen, and you're not wrong. And again, at this point with where they are right now, that's you know, that's where we are with the conversation with them, where everything can be critiqued in that way because they have decided that they want to start losing and losing in these weird ways where it's just, you know, so strange right now with this team, man, where we, you know, just the unexpected stuff with how they're doing things at this point.
But they're just so bereft of talent from all the bad drafts.
And that goes to the guy up top.
Yeah.
It does.
And you know, as I think I said a couple weeks ago, I don't have a problem with Howie, but Howie, like Doug needs an offensive coordinator. Howie needs a player evaluator to help to do the draft. And stick to what he's good at.
Fair. I wouldn't disagree with that. Listen, B, thanks, man. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Good night.
We'll talk, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. They are. They are bereft of talent. Clearly. Need to be better. All right. Let's get to some of this stuff with the Tennessee Titans. Well, if you're not familiar, and we're going to give... Stacy said, did he just say the L.A. team was the best assembled in NBA Finals history? Yeah, Stacy, he did. I told him he was wrong. Gotcha. a lot of good tweets here. We'll get to those as well. But in terms of the conversation that we're, you know, having about the NFL, if you're not familiar with what's going on with the Tennessee Titans, and where they are right now. Let's just, you know, let's kind of catch people up on what's going on with the Tennessee Titans. They broke protocol. They gathered last week for a workout in Nashville, and they were told not to do so. These guys are probably in trouble right now. They did not play last week because of this. And with that, they were asked to, you know, stay away. Let's be smart. Let's keep things right. Let's do things the proper way. And let's make sure that, you know, this is not going to be something that's going to be a problem. Well, today you can add Corey Davis, the wide receiver, to the list of now reserve COVID-19 list. Davis, Adam Humphries, Jeffrey Simmons, Daquan Jones, Christian Fulton, who he wanted at the cornerback position. Bo Brinkley, Isaiah Wilson, you know, a few more players as well. All these players. And Ryan Tannehill was one of these guys with the local workout that had going on. Two positive tests today, putting now, according to Adam Schefter, the Sunday's Bills-Titans game in jeopardy. Stephon Gilmore tests positive with the Patriots, where the Patriots-Broncos game is now in jeopardy. A defensive tackle from the Raiders also confirmed test positive. He is now in you know, the COVID protocol also. And what is going on here? What is going on here? Private workouts, they ask them not to. You test positive early on, okay. But then we just go and act like this is ridiculous, like this didn't happen. They are going to be, we'll let the audio tell you what could happen with these guys. So let's start off with Adam Schefter on the morning show, his weekly Wednesday visit with the morning show. And here he is talking about the Tennessee Titans Bills game possibly being postponed because of so many players testing positive for COVID-19. Yes. We'll get to Adam Schefter. You know, we always have bugs here.
I think that while the league and the Players Association tries to figure out how to handle these situations and what to do, I think this is just another reminder that we are going to have this basically every week. And I think you have the Pats Broncos and the Bills Titans games both in jeopardy for this weekend.
If I knew how to work this drop, you know, the Zeta that we have here, if I knew how to work, I do. Is it on, Dill?
This is our new norm.
Okay. That's the new norm right now. COVID NFL. Now, can they get it under control like we saw Major League Baseball do after the hit with Miami, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Milwaukee? Was that the four early on when everything hit? St. Louis, we know about Miami and Philadelphia, but was it St. Louis and Milwaukee or something? Because St. Louis, they were negligent going out to the casino or something that they said, pardon me, and that was them. But right now, this looks like this could be the new norm if they don't get this thing under control. And the question then becomes, what happens with the remainder of the season?
The best way to prevent this is to just make a strong example of the teams who do skirt the rules.
Okay.
I don't know if any team other than the Titans have done anything wrong, but from everything that's been reported, it seems like the Titans did not take protocol seriously. They were practicing during the week when they were supposed to be quarantining because we didn't know which ones of them had this and which ones of them were positive. So that you're supposed to just be quarantined, wait until further notice, but they still got together and practice. Might have spread it more. We don't know. There are still positives coming out, so clearly it's still being spread throughout the team. So if the issue is some people aren't taking it seriously, they're not following protocols, but they might be going out and doing stuff during the week that they're not supposed to, putting themselves at risk. Mm-hmm. And the way to stop that is to say, hey, if you do this, you're going to be in trouble. It's mm-hmm. not just going to be, hey, you're going to miss these games because we can't play them now. It's going to be, okay, if this happens again, it's not that we'll delay the game. You're just not going to play it. You're going to take the loss.
Yep.
And I know some. We've heard some people around the NFL are calling for losses of draft picks.
Well,
I think that's reasonable.
Well,
you got to take this seriously. This could literally end the season. So this has to be taken with the utmost seriousness. And if teams aren't going to take it seriously, punish them.
Well, Mike Freeman, NFL of formerly of Bleacher Report and other places, Washington Post, CBS Sports, and you know he's a connected NFL person. He says, I'm hearing from front office execs and coaches who think the Titans should be harshly penalized. One coach said they should lose two first-round picks, right? Remember when the fines started going around the NFL because coaches weren't wearing masks like they were supposed to based on the protocol within the NFL's guidelines? The quote here says, the NFL needs to send a message to all teams, said one NFC team executive. It's Mike Freeman, again, plugged in to the NFL. And during Mike's show from the NFL Network, James Palmer was on. So we'll go with the first one with how this whole thing started with the Tennessee Titans players.
My buddy Paul Koharski, who covers the Titans, is the one who has the pictures, and he posted them. And he posted them of working out, and Ryan Tannehill's running the workout, and it's mostly skill guys. And then just about a half hour ago, Corey Davis, their wide receiver, tests positive. So he was one of the players today, and now his name comes out, and you know that most of the skill guys were together with the quarterback in a workout to where you're not supposed to be having. The league is furious, and I think that's why there's more of these, you know, protocols that have come down. So now you can't even meet. The max is three players now outside of the facility that can be together, even though they're tested every day. The most number of guys in a tier one or tier two that can be together is three. And all of these new protocols are coming down from this initial investigation.
Well, look at how many they have. I mean, everybody's like, oh, well, I got tested, so I'm cool. We're all good, right? Stephon Gilmore, he was tested. What, Thursday? I think they said Thursday. They played Sunday. He comes back positive. Now he's dapping it up with Patrick Mahomes after playing a full 60-minute game, dapping it up with him, right? And Patrick Mahomes had to say, come out and say something. I think I saw the quote where he said, I kind of lost my train of thought at one point, you know, just based off of what they are accustomed to doing. Greeting each other after games, and now the Kansas City Chiefs have to worry about him. The Chiefs have to worry about him now. 610-632-0975. I hope everyone pays attention. Dylan, the final cut. What do you have with what people are saying around the league?
I think the biggest news, Mike, that comes out of this is, you know, Dr. Alan Sills was on our network this afternoon on our shows talking and asked directly, will the league be put on pause for a week or two? Have they considered bubbles in any capacity, whether it's 32 or by division and anything? And him saying everything is on the table, I think tells me that they're not ruling anything out and they're preparing for, you know, what we're kind of seeing right now. And Tennessee is the main reason. And there's a lot of people in the NFL that are angry with the Tennessee Titans. And obviously, there's people within the league and they're under investigation, and we'll get to that part of it. But when other teams are getting affected by a team that is not following the protocols that have been put in place by the league, obviously when it affects your season and the well-being of the rest of the league, there's going to be a lot of angry other teams. And the league started their investigation into the Titans operating inappropriately prior to the announcement from the league in Roger Goodell's memo stating that you could forfeit games, either lose draft choices or, you know, or be fined at a greater extent. So I don't know if they can be at liberty to forfeit this game against the Bills, because if you look at two more positive tests, that means they can't get in. They need to have two more days of negative testing, which means they wouldn't really get into the facility till almost Saturday. And then you'd have to play a game Sunday, which seems very, very difficult. So with their players getting caught with actual photo evidence of working out in a large group at a high school in Tennessee, exactly against the protocols, are the reasons why the league is so angry, and the league is now trying to emphasize these new protocols in a manner in which they go, you're going to start doing things like this and you're not going to follow what we're trying to do. We're going to put down even more rules. And that's where we're at to try to get through a season. But I think with Dr. Sill saying everything is on the table in terms of pausing the league, it's rather telling.
Okay, James Palmer of the NFL Network on with Mike Missanelli earlier this afternoon. Some great stuff from him. I saw the photos of them working out. Paul Koharski, just great work by him in Tennessee. Again, what is going on here? What is going on? I understand they are tested every day and everybody feels like, oh, we're all good. It's no big deal. All of that stuff. No, it's not good. Follow the protocol as you are asked to do. If you want to finish this season, do it the right way. Do it the right way. I mean, seriously. What's wrong with these people? Now, the question is, it has to be, do they shut it down? Like the doctor said, do they shut it down for a couple of weeks just to kind of get things back to normal? Just you can't just start missing. They're only 16 of this. It's not a 60-game season. You have to continue to do this thing. Everything means, every game means something. And yes, the 60 games, they all meant something. That's why we played so close, paid attention so closely to what the Phillies and the rest of the Major League Baseball was doing. It all meant something. It all meant something. Right? Don't they want to finish? I understand. I appreciate the fact that you wanted to go above and beyond and work out. But be smart about it. That was not smart. Have they not been paying attention?
And you're asking how this is now adversely affected the Steelers season. And the Steelers didn't do anything wrong. The Steelers just happened to have the Titans on their schedule. And now they lose a bye week.
Yep.
They get like a kind of bye week where they had already been preparing all week for a certain team. And then they find out near the end of the week, oh, we're not playing. Okay, so I guess we don't really have time off. We just get maybe a little extra time to prepare for our next opponent. And then we lose our bye week later in the year. So we have to play, 12, 13 straight games with no break? I mean, that's rough on them. And they did nothing wrong to deserve that. They just have the whole season disrupted because another team can't bother to follow the rules.
God forbid. God forbid you follow the rules. God forbid. Look, you're a good football team. You seem like you all have it together. Again, it's great that the camaraderie is there, the chemistry is there, and you want to keep that going because of the lack of work that you did not have during the training camp time, the summer, and the OTAs and all that. Great. But guys, come on. Come on. Man. Dylan, do you think that we're going to have to take a break the entire NFL?
I can't see them doing that unless they get super serious where there are multiple.
TV is big, yeah. Too, man.
There's too much money involved do that as a last possible.
But you're going to make it up because you are going to have those games. They're going to be on the networks. It will just be shifted maybe 2 weeks later. They're going to have to fill programming for whatever from 1-12 for their pregame shows all the way until, let's say, 8 p.m., and even 11 p.m. for the Sunday night, and then we know what happens on Monday night. They're going to have to do that way. I'm looking at it, man. They might have to do that.
Say you take 2 weeks off.
Okay.
What's to stop certain players who maybe aren't willing to follow the rules now from just
doing the same thing?
They're going to have that time off. They're not going to be in the facilities. They're not going to be practicing every day, so they're going to have a lot of spare time. Well, there's going to be, I mean, there's some. And every field, there are people who are just immature. It's not just professional athletes. If it's in our field, it's all field. Some people just aren't mature, and some people are going to make bad decisions. I mean, you can see it with there are stadiums pretty much full of people right now just saying, oh, who cares if there's a huge viral outbreak? We're just going to go party. It's like a time off, those 2 weeks off, could make it worse if you don't have really strict standards and punish any players or any staff that break those standards.
I don't know, man. 610-632-0975. Final segment upcoming right here on The Fanatic. Again, the numbers, 610-632-0975. That's Dylan McKinnon. I'm Devon Givens. Final segment on the other side, and we'll get into a little bit of the Phillies and what in the world is going on this time with John Middleton and the Phillies here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
final segment, 9:30 here on this Wednesday night, 610-632-0975. Oh, man. Great stuff tonight. Great stuff tonight. Talking some birds. Got into the NFL in the last segment a little bit because of the fact that it is now COVID NFL. And again, just a great, we might need to make that a weekly segment. What is going on? let's sift through this. What is going on? Maybe we need to do that. 610-632-0975. And before we get to the Phillies and all that mess that's going on there, let's go to our friend Lance, who we could not get to last night. We apologized to Lance last night. He got in. He was in like he normally does in the later stages of the show, but so busy that we couldn't squeeze Lance in. Well, Lance, you're definitely in here tonight, my man. What's going on?
What's up, Devon?
Yes, again, sorry about last night, man.
No, that's cool, dude. Don't worry about it. So I was going to bring up 2 points of the Eagles, but then also on the COVID issue. So with the Eagles, first off, I think this matchup against the Steelers is a really bad matchup for them. First off, they could spread you out. So they're going to put 4 wide receivers out there. And I don't even know if we have 4 corners that can go out there and cover people. And their wide receivers, whoever's drafting for them is doing a phenomenal job, because Deontay Johnson might be their best one.
Yep.
Juju is a great slot guy. Claypool's looked good since he started playing more.
Yep.
And then James Washington, he'd probably be the third best wide receiver on this team on the Eagles. So I look at that, and that doesn't even cover the fact that they have Eric Ebron, who would still be a matchup nightmare against Nate Jerry. So I look at this game and I'm like, man, the defense has a handful.
And McDonald.
Put a point, dude.
And McDonald. Yep. And Vance McDonald.
Oh, yeah. And Vance McDonald. So I look at it like they're going to, I think the Eagles are going to have the handful. I actually think they match up better. Like, not that they're going to beat the Ravens, but I think they match up better against the Ravens than they do against the Steelers. But it is what it is. And then with the other thing with the Eagles is this. 2 things that concern me with them. 1, they've had 60 attempts on 3rd down. They've been in 3rd and 8 or longer in 32 of them. That means you're at like 54% 3rd and 8. That means on 1st and 2nd down, I don't know what you guys are doing, because it's not working. So clearly what you're doing is not working. You better change it up to get plays in there that are working and stuff that is working, because it wasn't really the penalties besides the 3rd game of the season where they played the Bengals. That was the only game where they had really bad penalties throughout the entire game. So this is play calling. And then the other thing that just mind blows me is, how at the end of the game are you not going to have Miles Sanders on the field? Like, Corey Clement is averaging 2.7 yards per carry. Boston Scott's averaging 3.3 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. They have been garbage this year. So you're telling me the guy who's your best offensive playmaker right now, your best weapon, and can find a crease and take it and end the game on 1 carry, you decide, I'm not going to put him in there. That is stupidity. We talked about this last year. They took Zach Ertz out of the field when they had no weapons and they're in the red zone. That makes no sense.
My question, Lance, was, is this something that they don't have trust in him carrying the football in the closing minutes of a game where they feel like he might fumble and put the ball in the carpet?
If you feel that way, if that's how you feel, I go look at stats. In the last 2 years, Corey Clement has fumbled 6 times. In the last year, Boston Scott's fumbled 4. You know how many times Miles Sanders has fumbled? 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to that, I said, no, this is just...
And I'm only asking that because it doesn't make
sense. In the room,
because it didn't make sense.
You're going to trick them, and no one's falling for it, and you're trying to be smarter than what you're doing. Just get the ball to your playmakers.
Yep.
It shouldn't be that hard.
I totally agree. Totally agree with that. And again, my only point to that was because, Lance, it just didn't make any sense. We're all looking at it saying, exactly. Wait a second, that's not Miles Sanders. What is going on here? And
But Devon, it didn't make sense when I called you guys last year and they took Zach Ertz. I want to say, well, I forget what game it was. I want to say it was before the Dallas game. I want to say it was the Redskins game. And they took Zach Ertz off the field in the red zone. Like, you didn't have wide receivers last year, and you're taking your best threat off the field in the red zone. It makes no sense. They do this all the time. And they go, well, we have certain packages for this. If your package doesn't include Miles Sanders at the end of the game and he's your best player, then you need to reconsider how you're making your package. Like, it's that idiotic stuff that almost cost you the game. Like, Miles Sanders, if he finds one crease and he hits it and he gets 15 yards, game's over.
Yep, 100%.
I don't trust Boston Scott to do that.
Nope.
And then with the COVID thing, at some point the scheduling is going to get so conflicted that
you're going to have to
take 2 weeks off just to get everything back on track, because you're not going to just be able to maneuver things around with bye weeks and stuff like that. It's eventually going to hit you. And to me, at some point, you're going to have to do it. It's going to catch up. It's an inevitability that they should have had in place, that if too many teams have it, we're just taking a two-week break, everyone quarantines, and then we start over.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's what I said to Dylan. I said, Dylan, I think they're going to have to do it, man. I think they're going to have to do it because it's just too much.
I don't think they want to, though. I think they want to play through it, but I don't see it happening. And then you have the whole thing in Florida with their opening up everything. That's a whole other can of worms when you're already having an issue with your players. You're going to have even more issues now.
No, no doubt about it, man. And this again, like we said, this is our new norm. Doug Peterson told us. He just told us a couple of years ago. That's all. This is it, man.
He was a prophet. He was preaching it before it even happened.
No doubt about it. Lance, great to talk to you as always, man. We'll catch up. Appreciate it. Have a good night, man. I think they're going to have to do it. I think they're going to have to do it. Just what it is. Why can't you just do stuff the right way? What is the problem here? Why is this a problem? You test it every day. You're getting tested every day, I understand. But you're tested every day for a reason. Anything can happen. Anything could happen, and it did. All right. We got about 12 more minutes of the show. So we wanted to get this one in as well. 13, 14 minutes, whatever it is. The Phillies. We know about Matt Klintak this weekend. He was demoted or fired or whatever you want to call it because he's still around. There was a report in Athletic that with his new interim general manager holding some meetings, Rice, they were holding meetings about the offseason and everything, the scouts and all. And guess who was in the meeting? Matt Klintak. Well, you know, had to be weird, right? Had to be a little weird where you're sitting here in this meeting and a job that you have done and the guy who was underneath you is now running the meeting because you have been let go, but you're still here. So, with you still being here, you still have to attend these meetings. Well, this whole thing is just ridiculous. And what's even more ridiculous is some of the things that were said by one owner, John Middleton, about this baseball team, about what they're going to be doing going forward, specifically with JT Realmuto. The point of not knowing what the future was going to hold because of COVID, and that pertains to paying players. Well, the Dodgers and Mookie Betts, they didn't seem to have a problem, did they? They seem to be working things out just fine while they're in the playoffs right now. Anyway, let's get to some of the audio from John Middleton and things that he said over the weekend during the Zoom meeting with the local media about the changes being made with the Phillies and what's going on in the future.
The time it was being considered, my position was I'd be willing to trade Sixto as long as you extend JT. And if you don't extend JT, I wouldn't trade Sixto, because we weren't at a point in the development of the team where the benefits that we were getting were matched what we were giving up. To give you a completely a similar kind of trade, but in an entirely different set of circumstances, when Ruben traded for Cliff Lee in 2009, we traded away a bunch of guys, and very importantly, Carlos Carrasco for Cliff, who had basically one more, you know, a year and a half left on his deal. When David Rubin and I sat down and talked about it, we all independently came to the conclusion was, you know, we're the defending World Series champions. We're pretty much the best team in the National League. And Brett Myers had gone down in May, late May in New York with an injury. We weren't even sure we were going to ever get him back. And so we looked at the situation. We said, look, if we can get this guy, because he's like one of the great pitchers in baseball, it gives us a much better chance of winning the World Series. So we're going to give up these players because we are in win now mode. And this guy is a huge difference maker. At that point, when we traded for JT, we weren't the defending World Series champions. We weren't, you know, we were trying to get back to the playoffs. The point I made is we need JT now, but we really need JT in 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now. And if all we get for him is 2 years, that's not the same thing as 2 years of Cliff Lee in 2009. That was my position. He's a great player, but we gave up a great player. We just needed to hold fast and be firm on not giving up Sixto for just 2 years at that moment in our time. We were a little early in the development to make that kind of a play.
Well, a couple of things right out of the gate towards the back end of that. You gave up a great player, and Sixto is a great player. No, he's not. He's a good prospect that we're going to see if he turns out. So far, so good for him and the Miami Marlins. He looks like a good player. JT Realmuto, yes, proven. You should have signed him because now you're talking about these 2 years and bringing him here for those 2 years, and it wouldn't work. Well, you should have made sure, just like you did with Bryce Harper, that this got done. This thing had to get done. And as far as being a contender for the World Series and all that, that was the point of you getting to the postseason. You don't know what happens. That's why you make the move for JT Realmuto. That's why you spend the money on Bryce Harper, Andrew McCutchen, make the trade for Segura, all of those things. So I don't want to hear all of that. That's all semantics at this point. The fact is, you were wrong for not signing him to a deal last season where you shouldn't be having this conversation at the end of this campaign. We wouldn't even be sitting here talking about it, right? At all. So that's number one. You're wrong there. Dylan, hit the next one. My goodness.
We don't really have a firm timetable. I think one of the things, Jim, that's really going to potentially play havoc with this offseason is COVID.
Oh,
I mean, right now, you can't even, our offices aren't even open. So if you had somebody new today, they can't go into the office to work. They can't meet people. They can't work with people. They can't, it's hard.
Stop it right there. Pause it right there.
Only goes.
How's Doc Rivers doing? How's he doing? Doc Rivers doing okay with his new gig and his new office, which we saw the photos from the Sixers Twitter account that he was in his office. You can't go in your office?
I mean, you can't. I mean, NFL teams are signing NFL players. It's just, okay, you have a test. You wait for the test to come back. Oh, the test is negative. You're clear. Okay, now you can come into our building and you can meet with us. It's that simple. You can't. It's not that you can have people come meet with you during COVID. You just have to take precautions. It takes the process a little bit longer. It doesn't make the process a year longer like Middleton says it might.
Seems like Elton Brand and Josh Harris and David Blitzer and Doc Rivers, Scott O'Neill, are all fine.
It happened really fast.
They're all fine, by the way. No one seems to have COVID.
They watched the game with Doc.
Allegedly. Apparently that did not happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
that's disappointing.
But go for it. Continue. Yes, we'll just continue.
About establishing relationships. It's what I've discovered over the last 6 months is Zoom's a pretty good way to have meetings with people that you know when you have relationships with. But when you start introducing new people to each other via Zoom calls, it's not nearly the same thing. I think that's going to play a factor in terms of our timetable. I think we have to be flexible and we have to be nimble. And who knows how COVID is going to play in potential candidates' minds, whether they're going to become conservative and say, I want to stay where I am because I know where I am and I feel safe here, or whether they're going to say, I want to take a chance and move out into a new job in a new organization. Can't tell you.
Isn't that the point of interviewing? Because you want the job? Yeah. Don't you understand that if you get the job, you do have to go to the new city?
I mean, if I'm some director of scouting or assistant GM somewhere, I'm not going to pass up a GM job It's like, oh, I don't want to.
You have, it's an interview for the job. Understanding where you are currently with COVID being a problem for all of this, then you have conversations with how we can communicate and talk and still do this safely. What is going on here? This would, if we had the segment of what's going on here, that would be big time in the segment of what's going on here. Seriously.
Are you kidding me?
All right. Come on, give me another one. He was on a roll. Let's just keep going.
Well, look, Todd, if you're talking about a permanent hire, that would be one issue. And if you're talking about something that could be 2-3 months or at most, you know, a season, that's an entirely different kettle of fish. And frankly, that's a totally different concern. It should be.
What? Do that for me again. Run that one back, Dylan. What?
Well, look, Todd, if you're talking about a permanent hire, that would be one issue. And if you're talking about something that could be 2-3 months or at most, you know, a season, that's an entirely different kettle of fish. And frankly, that's a totally different concern. It should be.
What? What?
Could be a year until we get an actual GM.
So, what's his name? Ned Rice?
Ned Rice.
Ned Rice is going to have to stay in power and make the decisions? So you mean to tell me you're going to waste some of Bryce Harper's career here by doing this? Is that what you're telling me? Look, I understand that he has a 13-year contract and you're already 2 years in. But, you know, no rush. No big deal. Let's just wait. Oh, that's right. COVID is going on. The finances. We can't properly figure this thing out. So,
Angels also fired the GM. They fired the GM. They didn't just say, oh, okay, we're demoting you. They got rid of him.
Yeah, yeah. Come on in. Let me have a talk to you.
And I assume they're not going to. I mean, I haven't listened to much from them, but. Are they going to wait an entire year, maybe,
probably
to replace?
Not. Probably.
Like, we'll probably go out and hire a real GM. Because, I mean, by saying, oh, we're just going to hire an interim, you're basically pushing your timetable back an entire year. You're saying, we're going to wait an entire year to make this franchise-changing decision that's going to determine the. You're basically in limbo for a year of a guy. Okay, this guy isn't a part of our future, but we're going to let him make important decisions in the meantime, like signing a. Franchise catcher or signing or making draft picks or anything like that. We're going to let him make all those decisions for a year, even though he's not our future plan.
So are they not going to sign free agents either?
Who knows? It's COVID. We can't COVID. Take risks.
Who's going to want to change cities? You have one more before we get to Brian, before we get out of here. Give us one more since Brian's there and he can hear this one as well from John Middleton.
So he's still the team president.
This is Bill McPhail, by the way.
I think you know one more year on his contract. His contract will be up at the end of 2021. And he and I have been talking for 2 years, since he signed his extension, about what the world looks like, you know, when he steps down. And, you know, we're not sure exactly when he's going to do that. But, you know, it's a conversation that he and I have had multiple times. And we're, you know, talking about it even now. He'll definitely be involved in the search process. I'm going to want his input. I'm going to want other people's input too.
Isn't he the one who hired Matt Klintak?
What does he do?
What does he do? First of all, we're talking about Andy McPhail, folks. Of course, you knew that, but just wanted to be clear for those who might have been saying, who is he talking about this time? He's talking about Andy McPhail. And to your point, you're right. What does he do exactly? And with what he's doing exactly, talking to him about when he's going to finally step down because he has, what did he say? 2 years left on his deal? How about he should?
1 year.
1 year. How about he should have been fired too? Huh?
Yeah, the genius behind the Cornelius Randolph pick. That was McPhail's shining moment. I remember McPhail come out and say, oh, this is a big moment for us. We got Cornelius Randolph.
And I'm sure he signed off on Mickey Moniak as well. Let's go to Brian in the Northeast to close out the show. What's up, Brian?
Gentlemen, two words, loser mentality. That's what this organization has. That's how they got the 10,000 losses. It's just ridiculous. When he's going to spend stupid money, we didn't know he meant not signing Realmuto again and putting the direct that he did in the bullpen. It's ridiculous.
Did you hear what he said, Brian? I mean, what is going on here?
Why are we being punished in this city where we cannot have a front office that knows talent or what they're doing for that matter?
I can't explain it. I cannot explain it, man. This is really where we are having this. Again, the JT Realmuto portion of this whole thing, right, B, is this. If you signed the man when you should have, you wouldn't have to talk about and take questions about that gentleman and bringing him back. As soon as you make that trade,
what they were gonna do.
You get it done.
Just renew him right there.
Done. Done.
They wonder why we're frustrated and we're miserable.
I mean, Brian, what is going on here? Oh, man.
Gentlemen, have a great night.
You have a great night. Yeah.
Take it easy.
You too, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Dylan. Final. Dylan, what is going on here? We got COVID in the NFL. All right, we expected that. I mean, let's be honest. We expected that to happen, right? Okay, that happened. All right, got it. I mean, but Dill, what is going on there? What is going on here? What in the world is going on?
I just don't get what Middleton's all about. And I couldn't find the cover. And one of the guys, he says, oh, I'm not a baseball guy.
Yes,
he admits
I'm not
that.
A baseball guy.
But he, in the past, he has made multiple decisions overruling the people he hired to be his baseball guys. Okay, so you don't trust, you say you have to trust baseball guys, but then you don't trust baseball guys. And I think the decisions he made to sign Bryce, to fire Kapler, those were good decisions, but he's not a baseball guy, so why is he the ones making them? He says, oh, we should let baseball guys make the decision. Well, you said you're not a baseball guy, Middleton. Why are you making decisions? If you don't trust your baseball guys, replace them. He clearly doesn't trust them, so replace them and let them make decisions. I don't want owners meddling. Hire someone competent. Let them make decisions. Get out of the way.
I don't know. What I do know is, Dylan, you did a great job tonight. As always, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thanks to all the callers, all the tweets, all the listeners out there. Really appreciate it. Tomorrow, we'll be back at 7 o'clock. Barrett Brooks at 8:05 after we do our Fanatic football pool at 8 o'clock. So we'll have a busy show for you as we do on Thursdays, and we'll get you ready again as we start to transition to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Have a great night, everyone. Really appreciate it. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.